Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
And we are the Pleasure Mechanics.
In this podcast, we offer expert advice and practical strategies so you can experience more sexual pleasure. We use explicit language and nothing is taboo. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com and hitting the Ask Us Anything button. While you're there, check out our complete suite of online multimedia courses designed to help you master new erotic skills and become an amazing lover. We have courses on couples massage, foreplay mastery, anal play for women and for men, and erotic spanking, if that's your thing. As a listener of Speaking of Sex, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice and come and join the Pleasure Mechanics community. We'd love to have you aboard. For the few weeks leading up to Valentine's Day, we were talking about romance and seduction and how to have beautiful sex. And we're going to go on a little bit of a different direction today. We're going to be talking about facials. And whether or not facials are degrading. And Charlotte's going to get started by reading the email from Dina.
Dina says, "Hey, Pleasure Mechanics. First of all, thanks for the show. My boyfriend and I both listen to it, usually separately, but often have great conversations prompted by the show."
Love it.
Yes, absolutely. "Most recently, episode 71 helped us have a huge breakthrough about my orgasms." Yay.
Awesome.
"But that's not my question. My question is about facials. He really loves coming on my face, and to be honest, I don't mind it that much. But it came up in conversation with a friend recently because she was saying how degrading it is and that no self-respecting woman would let it happen. I got really embarrassed but didn't say anything to her right then. But then the other night, I was going down on my boyfriend and he wanted to end with a facial and I felt sick all of a sudden. Have I been letting him degrade me this whole time? I love this guy and can even see us getting married someday. Is letting him do this to me making me less of wife material? Should I stop letting him do this to me? Honestly, I'd never really thought about it until my friend brought it up, and I was curious what you think about it. Thanks." Dina, this is a great question. There's so much in here.
So to get started, let's talk about what a facial is. A facial is when a man ejaculates on his partner's face, most commonly depicted as a woman. And this usually happens after a blowjob as a way of finishing off.
It is an act that has been popularized by porn because there is interest in having the money shot. They are wanting to see the ejaculate, see the cum on screen instead of it being in a woman's mouth or in her vagina. They want to see it. And for the generation of men that have grown up with internet porn, this is translated into their bedroom and it has become an act that is happening more and more and has become quite normalized.
And I think there is an inherent pleasure in seeing your ejaculate on your lover's body. I don't think it's just because of the visual nature of porn that this has become popular. I can understand the excitement about ejaculating onto your lover's face or chest or belly or pussy or anywhere else. And all of these locations as the destination for ejaculate have their place. But for some reason, facials particularly have become understood as incredibly degrading and humiliating. And I think this is rooted in our sex-negative culture. If we think about ejaculate as something that's dirty and gross and comes from sinful sex, then yeah, of course it's degrading and humiliating to have it on your face. But if we change our attitude about that and we think of sperm as a sacred fluid of life, or at least a fluid that comes from pleasurable sex from the person you're choosing to have sex with, then it's a more neutral thing and we can change our attitude about facials. So I think a lot of the attitudes and the understanding of facials as degrading are really rooted in our sex negative history and have been brought forward into the current conversation about facials. And it's not anything inherent about the act that makes it degrading, don't you think?
Right. Every sex act can be beautiful and respectful and loving and worshipful or heinous. and
heinous, as I like to say. Right. Degrading, humiliating.
Right.
And depending on
a whole series of factors. So I think that it is not special in that way. So really, it's all about your feelings and your intentions and the experience of the two of you together. It really depends how you both are experiencing it.
Right. Think about spitting on someone's face during an argument. In that context, it can be a huge insult, super offensive, really gross, versus kissing someone passionately out of love. You're talking about the same bodily fluid, saliva, but it has a totally different emotional context, and we don't even think about that. We don't think about kissing as gross. And so this is just to point out that the experience of that bodily fluid has more to do with the emotional and social context than the fluid itself. And when it comes to oral sex and ejaculation, there are some attitudes that oral sex in and of itself is degrading, that allowing yourself to be penetrated in your mouth is humiliating. And so whether it's the facial or oral sex itself, you need to analyze for yourself what your attitudes about this sex act are. How is your emotional experience of it? And let that guide your experience rather than the social ideas about what you should be feeling. And it sounds in this case like you've been really enjoying it.
Well, she said she didn't mind it.
Right.
Which is different than really enjoying it.
It was only when her friends
right.
shamed her, and her friend kind of created this blanket statement of this can never be a good thing and it's always humiliating, that's when her displeasure and her worry about this act came in. So it is that social pressure versus her own experience. And we really believe that in every sexual context, you need to do the work of understanding for yourself what your experience of a situation is versus what you've been taught by our culture, because in most cases, our culture is teaching us really negative things about sex. And this is one of the primary reasons we struggle with it, because of this history, because of the social messages about sex being shameful and dirty and bad. And we each individually need to do the work to figure out what is pleasurable, what is good, what do we want in our lives, what feels right in your body.
And I would encourage you to have a conversation with your partner, because the second part of your concerns were around, will he respect you? Will he think of you as a possible wife in the future? And our culture has this very split understanding of women's sexuality, of the wife, the mother, and the whore, the slut. And it's really a deep schism in our culture. I think this sex act is bringing that up for you, which makes a lot of sense. But I would encourage you to have a conversation with him about it, of how does he feel about it? Does he enjoy it? Is it just habit for him? Does he really eroticize it? Explore it a little bit more, because it's important to think about the sex acts and the things that we do with our body. You were saying you hadn't actually really thought about it before. So this is a great opportunity to think about it. I think we should all try and consider what we're doing and how we're doing it. And if we want to make it better, are you doing it just out of habit or because you really enjoy it? Or could you find a way to really enjoy it more? Like as we were talking about, it can be a really worshipful act to receive the seed of life from your lover. You know, what would it look like to really love and savor his fluids? Because it is precious and it is sacred if you want to look at it that way. And other people really love to eroticize the dirty and the taboo and the power dynamic that can be overlaid on top of this act, which is most often, I think, how we see it depicted in porn, where there is this power dynamic, where it is about being territorial. And there is an element often of misogyny, of you are mine, and...
See, I kind of disagree with that. I think porn is really split in how it portrays facials. And just like in relationships, it has to do with the intention. The attitude of a facial in porn is more about the attitude of the porn itself. I've seen facials in porn that are gross because the porn is gross and the woman is totally checked out and disengaged and the man is slapping her around with his dick and she doesn't really like enjoy it. And I've seen porn with facials where the woman is smiling and laughing and loving it and rubbing it into her skin and basking in the glory of the great blowjob she just gave. So I don't think it's fair to say that porn facials are misogynistic.
Clearly. I think there is some porn that certainly depicts it that way. And I think that culturally, when we talk about facials, I think that's more of what people envision. I think the joyful, loving, pleasurable experience of facials is very underrepresented. So of course we can never say porn is this way. There is a huge range always. But where I was going with that was that if it turns you on to also play with the power dynamics and have it feel
a little dirty, a little raunchy.
Yeah, then that is also your choice. And you can play with that. All of sex doesn't have to be respectful.
Well, it's respectful.
That's a challenging statement. But
well, I think when we're talking about power play, and we'll do a lot more about this in the future episodes, but it's respectful and then consensual, and then you play a game where it's dirty and raunchy and about domination. So you can agree ahead of time that a dirty, raunchy facial turns you both on. And with that agreement in place, he can splooge all over your face and wipe it in with his dick and kiss you roughly. And that can be really hot for both of you. Or you can agree that this is a reverent, loving, tender act. And after giving him an amazing blowjob, you can look up at him and say, "Come on my face, baby. Show me how much you love me." And he can ejaculate and lean down and kiss you tenderly. Same act, different energies, different emotions. And the fun part is you can do both of these things within the same relationship. This is all about erotic energy and erotic intention.
And choice.
And your choice and agency in what you want to play with in bed. And this goes for every sex act, every kind of sexual expression. It's a choose your own adventure game where you get to take all of these components, all these sex acts, all these attitudes, and create your own game that feels fun and fulfilling to you. And we have a course coming up about this, and it's going to be really fun and in an exciting interactive way to explore how to have fulfilling sex and get your fantasies met. And to know what you desire by playing this choose your own adventure game. So stay tuned for more about that. It's coming up this spring, perhaps. But for now, think about each sex act you're experiencing with your partner, how you feel emotionally about them, and if there's any places where you feel emotionally conflicted, then that's something to look at. If it's fun and exciting and hot for both of you, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely. I would say for guys, it's often respectful to ask if you can come on a certain area of a woman's body. I feel like totally. Unconsensual just coming can be really confronting for a lot of women. And that conversation can have before you're in bed at some moment, like, hey, I kind of am turned on by this. How would you feel about that? Would that be okay? So that in the moment it can be more spontaneous. Because it can be really confronting and upsetting for some people if all of a sudden somebody's coming on your face.
And if you haven't had that conversation in advance, then in the moment, as you're approaching ejaculation, ask her, where do you want it? And she might say, in my hand, or on my tits, or in this napkin. Give her the option of choosing where you deposit your ejaculate.
And equally, if you're a woman and you're curious and you have kind of written this off entirely because you've thought of it as degrading, you could explore an experiment with coming on less charged parts of your body first to just sort of see how you feel about it. Your stomach is kind of the least charged, probably, and then moving up the body on the breasts has its own charge, and then...
Come on my elbow, baby.
No, the neck, you know, it's, the pearl necklace is a classic around the neck, as you can imagine. It's worth exploring, I think, as one way of ending a particular kind of erotic experience to see how you feel. It is a good way to explore how we feel about fluids. I think trying to change our experience from it being something gross to something sacred is great. And please, can you be smart about your sexual health here? We don't often really go into a lot of detail about sexual health. There are a lot of great resources for that if you want. But if you're going to be having cum in your eye, in your mouth, there are risks that you need to assess for yourself.
Right. And this is where actually coming on your unbroken skin, whether that's your cheek, your tits, your belly, is actually the safest place to put ejaculate if you want it somewhere on your body. When you get into the mucous membranes of the mouth, the eyes, the pussy, the anus, that's when you have a risk of transmission. And so playing with putting the ejaculate on your body can be part of safe sex.
Mm.
And I know a lot of women who fetishize ejaculate, who love seeing their man's cum on their skin and playing with it and enjoy the texture of it. And other people, not so much. And they just kind of want to get rid of it as soon as possible. What's important here is that you choose for yourself what your feelings around this sexual fluid, this sexual act are, that you don't just have a knee-jerk reaction from what you've been taught from our sex-negative culture. So think about it for yourself, explore, go into it with a spirit of curiosity instead of a preconceived notion of what the experience might be, and then feel it out. See how you feel and know that that can change over time. It can change with different partners. You might not want the ejaculate of a casual hookup on your face, but if it's a guy you love, maybe that feels really different, or vice versa. Who knows? Our experiences of these things are really personal, but what we're really advocating for is that you give yourself the opportunity to have an authentic experience of it and make up your own mind about how you feel. And then later in conversations, if your friend brings up facials again, I don't know how that casually came up in conversation, but these things do amongst girlfriends, I encourage you to talk back to her and say, why would it be humiliating? Why is it degrading? Because if we stay silent in these conversations and let the sex negative messages triumph, then it's going to be very hard to change our sex culture. The more of us who are willing to say out loud our own personal sex positive perspectives or question the sex negative assumptions, the more culture is likely to change. And you can have a really interesting conversation with your friend about this topic by challenging her assumptions that this act is degrading. And this is one of the ways that you, as part of the Pleasure Mechanics community, can participate in creating a more sex-positive culture, a more pleasure-positive culture for us all, is by having these conversations out in the world in whatever way you're comfortable with. Speak up about new sexual ideas and attitudes and things that you're hearing on this podcast. Bring them into your everyday life and start having conversations with people that challenge sex negative assumptions. They're some of the most fascinating conversations you can have. And, you know, whenever we're at dinner parties and talk about what we do, often the conversation ends up being all about sex for the whole party, because as soon as people experience a safe place to talk about these things, everyone has a lot to say. We all actually crave community and conversation about sexuality, but it's so rare to find a safe place to do so. So perhaps you all, our beautiful listeners, can become agents of social change by having conversations like this in your everyday life.
It's so true. We are all connected, and our thoughts and opinions matter to each other because we are social sexual beings, and we can't deny that. I just want to add one more thing about the wife piece, because I feel so committed to this piece of women being allowed to be sexual beings and be lovable, which is basically what that schism is about.
You're my sexy wife.
Thank you. So I want to encourage you to feel like you can be both.
Yes.
I think it's one of the most important things for women to really internalize. We don't have to lose our sexuality when we become wives and mothers. We can harness it. It may look different. It doesn't mean you don't get to enjoy the facets of your turn on and desire, whatever that looks like.
We'll do another episode about this because I think it's super important. And from what we know of our listeners, a lot of you are in long-term relationships. And if you actually want to reach out and tell us more about your specific situation so we can get to know you more, we'd love to hear from you. You can come over to pleasuremechanics.com, hit the Ask Us Anything button, or just send an email to beintouch@pleasuremechanics.com and introduce yourself. We are really interested in getting to know the tens of thousands of you who are listening to this every week. Who are you? What sexual situation are you in? What is your relationship status? What are you struggling with? And is there any questions you want to hear answered on future episodes of Speaking of Sex? please come on over to pleasuremechanics.com, explore our resources, and get in touch with us and let us know who you are and what's going on in your world. Because we are really here for you. We are dedicated 24/7 to being your guides as you create the sex life you most want. And to do that, we got to get to know you. So let us know what's going on.
And we have over 75 free podcast episodes to have these conversations with you privately and intimately. And then if you decide that you ever want to invest in your sex life and learn more, go deeper in learning the skills of erotic pleasure and mastery, please feel free to come over to pleasuremechanics.com and check out all of our erotic mastery courses. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off any of them, and use those resources to master new erotic skills and create that choose your own adventure sex journey that we know is possible for you.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Speaking of Sex. On our next episode of Speaking of Sex, we have an interview about a very racy topic we think you'll love, so don't miss that. Subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss an episode, and we'll see you next week.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Chris.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.